Hello and welcome to Talking Dot Golf from the Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits in Kohler. Rob Hernandez alongside Gary D'Amato. Talking Dot Golf from the Ryder Cup presented by Iron Jock. And Gary D'Amato, it was day one of player interviews today. Golfers came through the interview area, and the one that really, caught everyone's attention, filled the podiums, was, of course, Bryson DeChambeau. The subject of your story that has been posted to Wisconsin.golf. And we were all waiting to hear kind of his opinion on his cold war with the media, his, you know, just anything Bryson. What did you get out of what you heard? And what do you think Bryson's kind of MO is this week here at Whistling Straits?
Yeah, clearly, Rob, you know, Bryson probably it was not his favorite place to be. You know, he's been boycotting the media sort of for a couple, you know, 6 weeks, 7 weeks now. But he was, I thought he was really expansive with his answers, and good. And, you know, I think for Bryson, this is a huge week because his image has taken some dents, you know, the last few months, with the Koepka thing, with the people yelling Brooksy, with his sort of ill-informed comments on vaccines, and, now this boycott with the media. He's a guy that millions of people love, but he's got detractors, you know, and I think this is a big week for him. I think he can win over a lot of people who might not like him by going out there and smashing drives and winning points and, you know, helping the U.S. win the Ryder Cup.
His presumptive partner this week looks to be, based on the pairings that went out today, Scottie Scheffler, who kind of defended him, said he was a little bit misunderstood. I'll give him misunderstood if maybe Bryson meets us halfway and gives us a reason to understand where he's coming from. I kind of feel like you. This might be a fork in the road type of week for Bryson. It's the last big golf championship of the year. And after COVID, 2020, with all those majors at the back end of the year, you know, we finally get a chance to collect our breath and maybe analyze where Bryson DeChambeau fits in the landscape of golf, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, to reiterate, I think it's a huge week for him. And, you know, he brings a lot to the table with his power here at Whistling Straits. If he can hit it semi-straight, I mean, his partner, who we think is going to be Scottie Scheffler, who's, you know, obviously a great young player, hasn't won yet, but is going to win many times on tour. They could be a really formidable team. You know, all Bryson has to do is get his ball in the fairway, and if it's out there at 340, they're going to have a huge advantage over anyone they play.
His eyes lit up and his mind started to spin when you asked him how many times he was going to hit driver out here. And to the, I think, to the benefit of the fans will find this good news. It's a lot, isn't it?
It's a lot. He wasn't sure if he'll hit it on all 14 holes where he would hit driver, not counting the par threes. But I think if the conditions are right and the right wind, he'll hit driver everywhere. And he did say that the fairways tighten up pretty considerably at like 325, mm-hmm. which is where his ball lands.
Yeah.
About 150 ahead of mine. But so on those holes and certain winds, he might, you know, go to his 3-wood or even a hybrid. But I sure hope he pulls out driver a lot.
It was an interesting group of players that came in. Of course, we have the pairing that we think is going to, you know, get ridden early and often, Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas. And on the one hand, nothing, you know, was said today to dispute the fact that there'll be a team to at least start out this Ryder Cup. But they did say, and everybody's kind of speaking the right things right now, that they'd be willing to break up that partnership if it meant, you know, giving Captain Steve Stricker some options. Do you see that happening?
You know, I only see it happening if they get waxed by somebody. I mean, if they go out there and win their opening match, you know, 3-2, Steve's going to keep riding them until they lose. And even if they lose, you know, if they go 2-0 and then they lose, he'll keep them together, I think. I would only see it happening if they get really beaten badly by somebody and Steve talks to them and just has a feel that maybe they'd be best paired with someone else based mm-hmm. on the analytics and based on what he's seeing and what the players are telling him. But those guys really like each other. They like playing together. So I don't see them breaking up unless, like I say, they really lose badly a match or two.
But the point was made, too, and I believe by Jordan or Justin, I can't remember who, the Europeans, you know, tend to, you know, have those partnerships that, you know, go from Ryder Cup to Ryder Cup. You know, they're not, I don't think, tried and true, hard and fast, because, you know, Sergio Garcia, Lee Westwood have partnered with a lot of different guys in their combined 21 years of being in the Ryder Cup. But, you know, but in order to get, you know, that stability, you've got to start and stick with it. I mean, how hard is that going to be to do? Because, you know, to me, it feels like the Ryder Cup's very much a live in the moment type of event.
It is, Rob. But one thing interesting is that this is really young team, you know, average age 29. Dustin Johnson's the oldest guy at 37, and next oldest is 32, I think, Tony Finau. So there's a lot of young guys who are going to probably play a lot of Ryder Cups together. So was it Jordan or Justin? One of them suggested that this could be the beginning of those kind of partnerships that last and last. If they're successful and if these guys continue to make Ryder Cups teams, I would think that, you know, they would have the same partners over multiple Ryder Cups.
Yeah, and I think we'll probably see a couple, at least one of those beginning this week, and we'll talk to them tomorrow. I think if my memory serves, Shoffley and Morikawa maybe would be the one that's partnered up in the past and in certain events and might do it again. But, you know, again, you've got options with this team. I think that's the neat thing. You know, Steve really hasn't, you know, by the way he chose his captain's picks, hasn't really boxed himself in any corners, has he?
No, you're right. I think he's got, you know, five or six guys who are so flexible they could partner with anybody. Harris English, I think, could partner with a very, very steady player, you know, good putter, could partner with anybody. I think Morikawa could partner with a lot of different guys. I think Cantlay could partner with a lot of different guys. So, yeah, that flexibility is really important.
Before we leave the U.S. side of things, we just got done, before we recorded the podcast here, talking to Steve Stricker. It was interesting to hear him talk about, you know, answer the question, because it came up in Brooks Koepka's interview with Golf Digest about all the, you know, obligations of the week. And Steve kind of went out of his way to try to make this a low-key thing. I mean, he and Nicky are very low-key people. If I were the Ryder Cup captain, I'd try to avoid as many tuxedos as I could, too. And that seems to be what they're doing. Do you like that approach? And do you feel, again, I kind of felt listening to Scottie Scheffler that this team is really starting to embody the look of its captain. But do you feel that approach in terms of the extracurriculars is a good one? You know, to kind of, you know, just sort of make this more of a, you know, not to take anything, you know, away from the uniqueness of the event, but still, you know, keep it all in perspective, I think.
I do, Rob. And the reason is, you know, Brooks Koepka verbalized maybe what some guys are thinking. Mm-hmm. I mean, who would never say it. You know, some guys on that team would never come out and say, oh, man, we got another dinner, another we have to sign 100 flags tonight. No one's going to say that, but I think some guys might think it, and yeah. Kepka's the one who said it. And so for Steve to make it as low-key as possible, there are certain things you have to do with the PGA of America and certain, you know, functions that you have to go to, but to limit those and to make it as much fun as possible and as loose as possible, I think, is a good approach.
We've spent a lot of the week analyzing the experience factor with the Europeans versus the so-called inexperience with the U.S. team. One of the things that came out of the interviews today that I thought was a little bit fascinating was the fact that, you know, some of these quote-unquote younger guys, even a Spieth and a Thomas, you know, made the observation that on past teams, they somewhat felt disconnected from some of the guys on the team because there was a significant age gap. A lot of these guys on the U.S. side are very close in age, and we might start seeing that, you know, maybe that Westwood, Garcia, Poulter, Rose type of, you know, bonding beginning we talked about, I know, earlier. But in terms of, you know, just not necessarily the teams that could be made, but just the culture and with these six guys, I mean, you know, do you see that happening, you know, with, you know, maybe a different era, you know, kind of, you know, reducing some of the divide that, you know, I think maybe some of us pretended wasn't there in the past.
Yeah, I mean, in the past, there has been some wide age differences between members of the team. There's been some young guys and some guys in their, mid-40s. And I think, you know, the core of this team, six or seven or eight guys, grew up playing junior golf and college golf and amateur golf together. So they've known each other for years and years. So I do see that being a factor going forward.
And as we wrap up our Tuesday edition here of Talking.Golf from the Ryder Cup, presented by Iron Jock, looking at the European side, we spent most of our interview with Padraig Harrington talking about COVID protocols. And again, we don't know anything to be happening, but I just found it weird to be talking so much about that, especially when your team includes a guy in Jon Rahm who, you know, was a victim of the protocol, you know, policies that are in place in professional golf at the Memorial. And you know, there's been some issues with that. I mean, is there any reason to wave any white flags or red flags or whatever color flags you need to wave to tell people that, you know, stay tuned. Don't touch that dial. These rosters may not be the same come Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, you know, obviously the captains and PGA of America and Ryder Cup Europe has gone over all this and thought about it, and it's the protocols are in the captains' agreements, that, you know, the agreement that both captains signed off on. The only thing, you know, is it possible that a guy could test positive? I think that's possible, and they can address that. You know, they have provisions for if that happens. The only thing that would really throw this competition off would be if, you know, two or three guys from a team, or one guy from one team and two guys from another team test positive, which we don't think is going to happen. We hope won't happen.
Sure.
And are pretty sure won't happen. But that would throw the Ryder Cup into disarray, I think.
Well, we're 2 days in, so far so good on everything, yeah. And let's hope that continues. Of course, if anything happens, we'll talk about it tomorrow here on Talking.Golf from the Ryder Cup. For Gary, I'm Rob. This has been Talking.Golf from the Ryder Cup, presented by Iron Jock.